Nowhere in Scripture do you find that God has predestined or predestines people to be eternally condemned. Nowhere. Nowhere. If you're eternally condemned, it's because you don't want Jesus Christ to be your Lord. He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sins. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day to you, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message entitled, Five Words, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Let's listen in.
God, who desires... God, the heart of God, who desires what? That all men and women, that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? It's everyone. But not all people desire to be saved or want to be saved. No, they don't want anything to do with God. They don't like God. Now, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Here it is. Not willing. God says, I'm not willing that any should perish. Any, that means everyone. I don't want them to perish. I'm not willing that any should perish. But it says that all, everyone, every person should come to repentance. God says, I'm not willing, but that doesn't change everything. You have a free choice. You have a free will. What did Jesus say in John 5:40 when he was talking to the Jews? He said, listen, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. Eternal life, real life. There's a lot of people today, oh, they know about God, but they're not willing. God is not the one going, well, I'm sorry, I didn't choose you. I didn't select you. I've already been back in eternity, you loser. I already know about you. No. Bill, does God know who's going to be saved and who's not going? Yes. But the Holy Spirit is wooing all of us. Wooing all. He wants everyone. He wants everyone to come to him. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, meaning the people. No, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, just those are just a few verses, but you know what that teaches us? It teaches us that no true Bible theology, no person can teach, loved one, that God takes pleasure in the damnation of the wicked and he wants them to go there. That's just not true. See, God sends no one to hell. Man chooses hell. They say, no, I don't want the Lord. I don't want a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, welcome aboard. We're all a bunch of hypocrites. Amen. God saved hypocrites, okay? Yeah, listen, you better get your eyes on Jesus. Predestined means this. Back in eternity, God did something. He says, I chose you, 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 and you. There's not one person in here, whether you know Christ or not. If you don't know Christ, I want you to know something. He chose you. He wants you. He wants you this minute. He chose you all the way back in eternity. Boy, I tell you, that does something for me. You know, and he chose, didn't even ask me to counsel with me or anything about it. When Jesus came and talked with the disciples there in John 15:16, what did he say to them? He said, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you and I have appointed you and sent you forth for what reason? That you might bear fruit. No, God is the one who does that. Listen, when did God really choose each of us? Think about that for a minute. I love this verse because it gives me such security all the time in my heart, talking about these five words, these five links that in a chain this morning. You know, when did God make his decision about each of us? You know how long ago? Well, I'll just read it to you. Ephesians 1:4. It says, just as he, meaning God, chose us, in him, meaning Christ Jesus, our Lord, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Can you dig that? I mean, hello. Lord, I belong to you. We belong to him before time began. And we're still going to belong to him after there is no more time, when time is no more. Yes, Bill. Oh, you mean, listen to me. You mean that my name and your name is as eternal as God? Yes. Yes. Think of, what is eternity? I mean, let's go back 50 trillion zillion years. There's God, but he was before then. Are you following me? How long have we been in the mind and the heart of God, loved one? All the way, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know, you can't measure eternity. Do you see how secure that makes me? I'm not a mistake. You're not a mistake. I was supposed to be born. I was supposed to be here. You know, in all the junk that you go through in this life, I don't know why it happens, but God does. You know, he loves us. And you know why he chose us? Because we were special? No. Have you not looked in the mirror today? No. Here it is, Ephesians 1:5. Having predestined, there's that word again, marked out before time, having predestined us to the adoption, oh, we've been adopted, as sons in Christ Jesus to himself. Why? According, here's the reason he chose you, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of his will. And what does that mean? He wanted to choose you. He wanted you to be here. He wanted you to be born at this time. He wants you to be with him in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. The incredible purpose of God while we're here right now, all the way back in eternity, is for what? For us to be conformed into the very image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That process called sanctification from glory to glory to glory. That is what's happening right now. Listen, if you are born from above and you're not changing, then you need to ask yourself what's wrong. Because I'm telling you, when you are born from above and you become a new creation, something happens. Old things are passing away and all things are becoming new in our walk, in our life, amen? That's why this great chapter, chapter 8, talking about our sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let me read it to you. It says, but we all, meaning believers, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We're looking at him and his glory reflects in our lives. Listen carefully. Are being, that's a verb, that's present tense, that means it's a process, are being transformed. We get our word metamorphosis. We're being changed from the inside out. We are being transformed into the same image, meaning our Lord, from glory to glory. You get it? Glory to glory is a process. Okay, that's sanctification, and it tells us how. By the power of another, by the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now listen, if the transformation, if you were a believer and the transformation has stopped, then you need to ask yourself a question. Have you quenched the Holy Spirit? Are you disobeying the Holy Spirit? Are you resisting the Holy Spirit? Because if you are, you all of a sudden you get to a standstill. Does it mean you're not saved? It means that you've sinned. It means that you've not broken sonship or daughtership, that you've somehow broken fellowship. Are you with me? God says, don't do that. You see, a lot of believers, you remember, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I preached that sermon, Stuck in Glory. You see, it says glory to glory to glory. Some people are born again and they're stuck right there. They never move to the next step. The new birth is all you have. Or here I am, I have the new birth and now I move to the next step and oh, I'm in the upper room. Hung, la, 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 la. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know. Here I am. I'm in that upper room, man. And now, this is it. I've arrived. And there, you're stuck right there. You never do anything else. Don't even tithe. No. See, here's the thing. If you're stuck in this, your present glory, then is there something hindering you to get to the next step? It's either, see, what you do in the glory that you're in, the process of transformation right now, whatever you do in this glory is either hindering or helping you get to the next step. Does that make sense? See, we want to go all the way. We want to be totally conformed, and we will be one day because God's promised that. Now, so that's what's going on. Now, with all that being said, look at this third word in the chain here in verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also what? He called. Not on the cell phone. You know what I'm saying? Turn those cell phones off, by the way. Turn them off. No. The Bible has, okay, here's a call of the Bible, a universal call. That's where God sends out, go into all the world and preach the gospel, amen? So there's a universal call to repentance. But then there's also the response to that call. Now, when did God call you and when did God call Paul the apostle? We have a scripture for that. Let me read it. Galatians 1:15. It says, but when God, or when it pleased God, who separated me, Paul says, set me apart from my mother's womb. And here it is. And called me through his grace. Not because I had anything going for me, Paul says. He called me by his divine unmerited favor. God says, before Paul, you were born. He says, I separated you. Just like he did Jeremiah. Are you listening to me? Yeah. In other words, when did that become an actuality in Paul's life? On the Damascus Road. Amen? That's when he received the Lord. Now listen, we were set apart in eternity. We were called in eternity, okay? But we did not respond to that call until it was manifested in our present day life. We heard the good news. God had called us. We received that call, even though God says he called you when? In eternity. Are you with me? Very important that we see this morning. Now listen, that means that all of our lives this morning, our lives are rooted in the eternity. It says that God has put eternity in our hearts, the hearts of every person. That's why there's that longing for God. You know, listen, 2 Timothy 1:9, God who saved us, here it is, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. And it tells us when he called us, you ready? Before time began. God, isn't that incredible? Listen, I didn't know that. When I was there on that beach all those years ago in Florida, receiving Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was called, but I was called in eternity. But it didn't happen until I prayed in my own life. Does that make sense? You see, I was running from God all of those years, didn't know it, but I was running from God while God was running toward me. See, God is always the initiator. We're not the initiator. God is. Jesus came to seek and those that are lost. Now, look at this fourth word here. I love this word. We've studied this and out. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It says, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, these he also what? Justified. He also justified. In the eyes of God, God justified you all the way back in eternity. That just always blows me away. In other words, now we have experienced justification, meaning where God declares, when we ask Christ to come into our heart, we've already covered it in depth, but let me just briefly touch on it. Where when we come to Christ, Jesus be the Lord of my life, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. The moment we're born again, God in his judicial decision declares the believing sinner righteous. He declares you innocent. He declares you justified, just as if you have never ever sinned. We've learned that. It is a one-time event that happens. It's never to be repeated. It is something that happens to us, not in us. Sanctification is something that happens after justification, that happens to us as we are changed from glory to glory. Now listen, that justification is not a feeling. It's a fact. It's not a process. It can never be altered. Those that God has truly justified, then never, ever can it be altered. In other words, the penalty of our sin, the power of sin, was all taken away from our life. And then what does God do? He imputes unto the believing sinner the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, Jesus' perfect record, in which now we stand. Do you understand? We stand in Christ's righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. We stand in it. And if we stand in Christ's righteousness, that means, loved one, that you in God's eyes have been declared innocent forever and ever and ever and ever. It means that you right now stand uncondemnable in the eyes of our Father in heaven forever and ever and ever. Why? The very first verse of Romans. Chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now, right this minute and forever, no judgment, no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Yes, that's our position, and no, it's not our practice. We get in trouble, don't we? And yes, we have to run to the throne of grace. Yes, we have to say, oh God, I've sinned. And then the blood of Jesus, when we confess it, cleanses us from all of our sin. Now, this fifth word is absolutely incredible. Look what it says. He also glorified. He also glorified. Now, what does that mean? It means that one day we're going to have a brand new body like our Lord's. Amen? That's going to occur. In other words, it's going to occur at the catching away, the trump when the Lord returns, and we're going to go up and all the dead's going to rise. They're going to get we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. You follow me? Okay, now that's when that happens. So that is a future event, but listen carefully. Even though this verse 30 here at the very end is a future event, and we know it's a future event, all we have to do is look at our body, okay? Yeah, it's not glorified, believe me. No. Here's what's so wonderful. It's unbelievable. It is in the past tense. Let me read from the person I study in my book, from Wiest, his Greek word study. Listen to what he says about this right here. He says, the tense in the last word, meaning he also glorified. Watch this now. The tense of the last word, he says, is amazing. It is the most daring anticipation of faith that the New Testament contains. Did you hear what he said? The most daring anticipation of faith that the New Testament contains. The glorification is stated as already consummated, though still future in the fullest sense. What is this saying? God says in his word, the links of this chain, if you will, they're unbreakable. They cannot be changed. God says, this is so certain, then God himself speaks as though it has already occurred. In a sense that it has. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen? Yeah, right this moment. That's our position. I know I'm not experiencing that. But in God's eyes, it's already done. It's already fulfilled. And I look, I say, oh God, this is so good. You mean my ultimate destiny, these links of the chain, my ultimate destiny is already fixed by God from all eternity to be conformed into the image of his Son? Yes, that's exactly what it's teaching. Now, let me tell you one other thing quickly. The words predestined in our text, called, justified, glorified, check it out. Check me out. I love to be checked out when I teach. They're all in the past tense. All of them, everyone are in the past tense. In other words, from God's eternal perspective, they are already completed. Do you understand? Listen to me. And those chains, those five links, there's not anyone that can break what God has done. Nothing. It happened in eternity. No one can take me out of the hands of God. Do you understand? We stand secure. If you are a believer, you stand secure forever and ever and ever. What does that mean, Bill? It means this, that if you really are born from above, you're not going to be ever lost in the process of sanctification. You're really going to make it. You're really going to go to heaven. Why? You know why? Because God doesn't lose sheep. Bah. Do you understand? That was a word from God. He doesn't lose them. No, God doesn't lose sheep. He doesn't go, well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, uh-oh, 7? Where are you at? I guess I better go find number 7. Is he down at the liquor store? I'm going to pop his top. Listen to me. The great shepherd is not going to lose you. He's not going to lose you. Yeah, but Bill, you know, I went through this and I'm down here and I did that. And yeah, and we've all blown it. We've all fallen short. We have all sinned. We all are tempted daily. Do you understand? But in the process of that, we're still being conformed into the image of God. And if we blow it and we don't want to blow it, we go to the Lord and say, oh, Father, I don't know why I did that. I judged that person. I lied. I did this. Forgive me. And the word from heaven is, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's what God does, and that's what he says in his word. Listen, I know we're going to make it. Why? Because the Bible is so clear. It says we can be confident, Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he, meaning God, who began not a bad work, not a sorry work, not a hopeless work, but a good work, in you. He will complete it. He will carry it all the way through completion. For how long? The scripture says, until the very day of Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that the Bible teaches whom God saves forever. Why? Because salvation is not of man. Well, I got to keep myself saved. Well, you can't do it. That's why we have to have the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to know him. No, listen, salvation is of the Lord. Look at verse 30. You might even want to mark this in your Bible. How many times is the personal pronoun he used? If I'm not mistaken, it's used 6 times. That tells me what? He. It means God is the founder and the finisher of our salvation from start to finish. Listen, God doesn't fail. God doesn't fail. You know, I quit looking at me a long time ago. And I just look to the author and the finisher of my faith. I don't listen to those voices anymore. I don't want to listen to them. I say, Lord, I listen to your voice because the sheep hear my voice and they will not follow a stranger, Jesus said. I listen to only you, Lord. I know with all of my heart that this should give us assurance. I say, oh God, why? Well, number one, again, God doesn't lose any sheep. But number two, the chain cannot be broken. It happened in eternity. The result of it is manifested in what we call time. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, no matter your condition, no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of a life you've lived, the one, Jesus said, that comes to me, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the one who comes to me, Jesus says this, oh, you come to me and I will in no wise, or literally I will never cast you out of my presence. That's what the word of God teaches. Listen, we're not worthy. He's worthy. He's the one who saved us. We couldn't save ourselves. Oh, I say, oh God, you're so good. Look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? What things? Verse 28 to 30. What can we say? You remember what Pastor Chuck, I'll never forget, when I saw him teach this, he goes, what shall we say to these things? And he goes, far out, man. You know? Yes, far out. What do you mean? In other words, I'm speechless. I'm going, oh God, you mean you can't be, nope, never can be broken. Why? I already did it in eternity, Bill. Yeah, but I mean, oh no, you're going to make it. You're going to make it because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. We're going to make it because Jesus doesn't lose his sheep. We're going to make it. Why? Because God chose you. He called you. He predestined you. He wants you. He's going to glorify you. Oh, man, it's going to be great in that day, in that day. What shall we say to these things? Or I probably should say this as we close. What shall you say to these things? If you don't know Christ, if you're not born again, I'm not talking about being a church member. No. I'm talking about a living relationship with Jesus. He's real. He's real. And he's here. You know, what about you if you don't know the Lord? What are you going to say to these things? Listen, what did I tell you earlier? You can say, well, God doesn't want me. Yes, he does. No, he chose you. But you don't know what I've done. Yes, he knows every stinking thing you've done. And he still wants you just like he wanted me. You see, 1 Timothy 2:4, remember I just read it. God who desires all men, all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God desires. Now it says all men, all people to be saved. That means you're in that group. If you don't know the Lord, you're right there. You're in that group right this minute and you have a choice. You have a choice. You have free will. You say, don't blame God now. Don't blame God. No. He says, come to me, or please don't reject me. Just come to me. That's what Jesus wants. He died for you. He paid for your sins. He wants you. You see, you have free will. Listen, the very last invitation in the Bible, in the book of Revelation chapter 22, I think I quoted that last Sunday. Listen to me. It says, and the Spirit says, come, come. The bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whoever, come and just come. Listen, you have free will. And that's why that scripture is appealing to your will. It says, you come. You come. Right now.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with another message from his Romans series. So please tune in again, won't you? My name's Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.